seated this morning. Again, we're glad that you're here and hope you've come expecting a blessed children. You can be dismissed for Children's Church. You can go with Sarah if you'd like to. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 19, and we're going to be we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 31 this morning. So Luke 16, 19 through 31 will be our text this morning. Growing up in elementary school, that red rubber ball was still allowed when I was growing up. I think they've outlawed them now because they're so dangerous. But all of us in here remember those wonderful red rubber balls that we used at recess time. I think they maybe even had them when George was in school. they used rocks for their game. But every recess we used that rubber ball. And sometimes we played that four-square game on the blacktop. Some would go down, especially at after lunch. We had a longer recess after lunch in elementary school. We'd play kickball. And I remember, that's a lot more fun than, that dodgeball or four-square, because you don't get hit with the ball, at least most of the time. But at kickball, I remember, you stood on there at the base, and the goal was running around the four bases, kind of like in baseball, but with a ball you rolled on the ground. Well, every time the kickball was a little too bouncy, what'd you do? You grabbed it and you said, "Do over!" And you threw it back and said, "Repitch that ball." If it was fine but you missed it, sometimes the kids would say, "Do over!" And everybody kind of growl or whatever, but the point in that is that, there are do-overs in games, especially when you're little, but there are no do-overs in life. Sometimes we'd like one. There are a lot of things in my life that I wish I'd go back and do over again, because I'd make sure that it turned out differently. But Jesus here, we've been looking at parables that Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke. And this morning, we're going to look at a parable that he tells about two different men who had two very different lives and then ended up in two very different places in eternity. So look with me at God's Word. It says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' And then he said, 'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to them, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" What an interesting parable that Jesus tells. And again, remember that parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus uses these object lessons to teach spiritual truths to the audience that he's addressing. And so it's not a literal event that occurred. It's just Jesus recounting a story, just like there are a lot of grandparents here. Job of every grandfather is to tell stories to their grandchildren. Oftentimes, they'd be the same stories. But we, of course, never said, "Grandpa, you've already told us this story 100 times." We just listen and nod our heads. "A good story, Grandpa." But then we miss those stories when Grandpa is gone and not with us anymore. Jesus wanted to get across the message to us, the importance of eternity. And that's what this parable is about. It's not that the rich man, ended up in hell because of his riches, or because he had a good life, or because he had a comfortable life, or that he had a lot of stuff. The problem was that the rich man allowed his riches to become his God and forgot about the fact that he was a child of Abraham. Abraham, you remember, was saved not by circumcision, not by any outward sign at all. But Abraham was made righteous before God because of his faith. And faith in God makes all the difference in a person's life. And the lack of faith makes all the difference in a person's life. Jesus wants us to understand faith is important. That it matters in what we put our faith. We find two men, this rich man that had lots of stuff and lived a comfortable life. We also meet Lazarus. And this was not the Lazarus that was raised from the dead, by the way. This is another, just a happenstance that Jesus picked that name. It was common back in Jesus' day. It was a common name. But Jesus said this man Lazarus was poor. He didn't have anything. He sat at the gate begging every day. They didn't have social services back then, and the people that were sick or paralyzed, they'd sit at the city gate and they'd beg for offerings from people that passed by. Lazarus, in fact, had gotten so sick that he had sores that had developed on his body. And so not only was he poor, not only was he already looked down upon, but he was sickly and quite frankly, kind of gross to look at. So people would have been appalled at him. Certainly wouldn't have touched him because they were afraid they'd get whatever he's got. Jesus wanted to paint that picture for the audience that he shared this parable with when he spoke it, and to us today, to get us to realize and understand some important truths. And the first is this, that God is watching over us. We need to understand that God is aware of our life, whether we're living for him or whether we're not. God knows about it. And God knows all about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the amazing thing is that He knows all of that bad stuff. He knows all the sores that we have in our life, and He loves us anyway. Some of you here are mothers. And it takes a special person to be a mother and to love those little, because number one, when they come out, they are not precious. They're gross. They're shrivelly and slimy and yucky. And you know that's true. And yet, what does every mother do? Oh, what a darling, precious little angel. And they are, once you clean them up and you do all that kind of stuff and get them going, they are. But you know what those rascals do? They keep you up at night. Because they don't come out knowing how to sleep all through the night. They sleep when they want to, and they wake up when they want to, and when they wake up, they're hungry. And if they figure they're up, you ought to be up too. Seth and Alice are going to find that out in a few months. But a mother, even when the child is slimy and gross, there's still something about a parent's heart that loves their child. When they wake you up at 2 a.m., when you've had a long day, you still love them. When they hit those terrible twos, you still love them. When they grow up and be teenagers and all of a sudden they think they know everything, you still love them. We know how rotten we are and how unlovable we are sometimes. And God knows that too, and yet He loves us anyway. And not only does He love us anyway, He watches over us, He protects us, He provides for us. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. God loves and cares for even those that deny God's existence. God still watches over them and cares for them. Even when this man, certainly we put ourselves in Lazarus' shoes, he was outcast. People ignored him. People walked past him. People looked their nose down on him. And yet God loved him. And so again, it wasn't the riches and possessions that these two men had or didn't have. That's not what the story's about. The story is about how they lived their life. And you know, Lazarus, how do we know he trusted God and had faith in him? How do we know that? Because he's in eternity with God Almighty in heaven in those celestial shores. And so we know that he had the faith like Abraham had, saving faith. The rich man, though they lived in the same town and maybe even went to the same church, if you will, the same synagogue, they observed the same festivals, they went to the same schools maybe, and yet their lives took very different courses. So in the truth of that God is watching over us, we need to remember that when times are rough and things are, seem upside down, that God is still there. When we're sick and, knocking on death's door, God is still there. And He's still good. When things are great, and we've got plenty of stuff, and we've got plenty of food, and we've got plenty of clothes. Leslie's got clothes in her closet, still have the tags on them that she's never worn. Yes, you do. I found them the other day. And probably all of us have some clothes like that. Thankfully, none of us are here in rags at church this morning because we have plenty of clothes. I can look out and I can tell not many of us, in fact, none of us have missed many meals. In fact, we've all probably gone back for seconds too often. But God is watching out for us. In the good times and in the bad times, God provides for us. And when you have faith in Him, that faith that Abraham had, whether things are great or whether everything's just falling apart, you have that absolute assurance that God is right there with you. And that's what Paul meant when he said, listen, I know how to be rich. I know how to be poor. I know how to be rejected and Paul was beaten, imprisoned, cast out. He was a castaway, as we talked about last Wednesday night. And yet, he said, I am persuaded in Romans chapter 8 that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is always watching out for you. God knew the life that this rich man was living. And he knew the life that Lazarus was living. And he knows the life that you're living and that I'm living. And then secondly, kind of flowing right out of that, is that God gives us opportunities to find Him. It may come in riches. It may come in poverty. It might come in a storm, maybe a physical storm like we saw this past week with the hurricanes coming. It might be a spiritual storm. It might be a storm of life. It might be stormy relationships. And yet, in all of those times, God is reaching out to us. He's there saying, here I am. Come to me. And so here in this parable, Jesus said, listen, whether it's through sickness, whether it's in possessions and comfortable living, we need to recognize here in life, in this life, that God is with us and that God has blessed us. Because when we realize it in the next life, when we leave this world, it's too late. What we've done with Jesus in this life determines where we spend life in the next one, in eternity. Not do I have money in the bank. Not do I have a new car. Not even did I go to church every Sunday or give lots of money, and those things are good. We ought to go to church, we ought to give. But those things aren't going to save us. But those things should be a reflection of the faith that we have in Him. And isn't it amazing, whether we're in a hospital room with sores all over or whether we're in a country club, that God is, wherever we are, God's reaching out to us and concerned about us, and that He knows our name. And if we will reach out to Him, He'll receive us, no matter how unworthy we are. That's the wonderful and marvelous thing about grace. That wonderful song that we sang today, that, I'm forgiven because God was forsaken. I'm the one that should have been forsaken. I'm the one that did the wrong, and yet Christ paid my sin debt. And when you realize that, and that gets a hold of you, it changes your life. And when you understand that God is working and God is trying to reach out even in the midst of tragedies. And sometimes just like, you remember in chapter 15, the prodigal son that demanded his inheritance and went out and lived it up. It took famine and him, getting to the bottom of the barrel, if you will, before he was willing to wake up and look up. And sometimes God uses the death of a loved one, or He uses a hurricane coming through and destroying someone's house, or a tornado, or, sometimes God uses divorce And I think divorce is an evil thing, but sometimes that causes people to say, hey, wake up. Something's off course, and you better get it back on the right course. So even through tragedy and the mess that we make of life, God didn't make the messes. But God can help us clean up the mess. He can help us walk through it and come out on the other side stronger and closer to Him. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. You know, He's asking to be given to you, seek and you'll find. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says that if Jesus stands at the door and knocks and anyone opens it, the Lord will come in and eat with him. So God is, through good times in our life, drawing us to Him. Through tragedies, He's drawing Himself to us, or us to Him. God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to find Him. This rich man had plenty of opportunity. He had plenty of time to an opportunity and days to thank God for all that he had. And yet he didn't. And so it came to the point where both of these men had died in Jesus' story. One was in Abraham's bosom. The other was in torment. Both of them recognized and found that God was exactly who He said He was. The problem was, for the rich man, he realized it too late. For you see, the Scriptures say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The day will come when everybody realizes that. But for some, it will be too late. But in honesty, for those that it's too late, it's not because they weren't given opportunity here on earth. It's because they didn't receive those opportunities. You think back to before you got saved. Chances are, for many of you, especially if you got saved later in life, you look back and you can see the younger days, opportunities where God was speaking to you. And God was nudging, He was beckoning to you. And yet you pushed Him away or ignored that door. You see, sometimes God does, He knocks on the door, sometimes He bangs on the window. He's always calling, trying to get your attention. But the trouble for most of us is that our lives are so busy and we're so bent on the things of this world and away from God that we don't hear and we don't notice that God. You see, even before we knew that God was there, before we even considered turning our life to Him, He knew our name, He knew our faith, He knew who we were because He created us. And He watched over us. And He gave us opportunities. He sent people into our lives to plant seeds of the gospel. He sent people to fertilize and water those seeds. But you see, a lot of times what we did with those seeds was we saw them in our ground and we dug them up and threw them out. Say, I don't need that crazy Bible thumpers, holy rolling preacher. I don't need that mess. And yet God doesn't write us off and say, well, I gave them a chance. They're done. I'm moving on to... God continuously is chasing after us, calling us to come to Him. And the thing is that we need to take advantage of that opportunity before it's too late. when God's speaking to us and God's dealing with not only about salvation, but about other things, we need to do, it's always best, here's the problem, it's always best to do business with God right away. Not to put it off. Sometimes it's difficult because sometimes God asks us to do difficult things. But it's always best to just get it over with. To get it taken care of. And to know that God's always there. And listen, the sin that you might need to confess to God, He's aware of it already. It's not like you're going to surprise Him and He's not going to faint because you tell Him what you've done. And He's been around a long, long time. There's nothing you can do that's going to surprise Him. And He knows it already. You know what? Even though He knows it, what He says, I love you. And I want you to live with Me for eternity. I want a relationship. I want to be in your life and to change you and transform you into something so much greater. And so, in Jesus' story, this Lazarus says, hey, listen, would you go and, can I go and tell my brothers? Because I don't want them to end up where I've ended up. And the response is, no, they have Moses and the prophets. And so what Jesus is getting across is God has revealed Himself to us to the point where if we want to find Him, we'll find Him. Sometimes we find Him when we don't even know we're looking for Him. But that's the way He designed it, by the way. And so the angel said, no, if they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe a resurrected man either. And so God gave these Israelites Moses. He gave them the prophets. We read through the Old Testament over and over and over again. God gave chance after chance after chance, didn't He? For people to come back to Him. And sadly, many didn't. Some did, praise the Lord, but many didn't. And they lost out, not only on knowing God here on earth and the blessings that come with that, but they missed out on eternity. But then the last reminder from this gospel parable this morning is that God extends the gospel to all. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter what language you speak, no matter what kind of house you live in, or whether you live in a tent, or whether you don't have a house at all. God is not a respecter of persons. The Bible says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, that means everybody's a sinner, but that's good news because it means anybody can be saved. Peter tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That does not mean that God is just going to say, well, I want you in heaven, so come on, you rejected Me, and you thumbed your nose at Me, but come on in anyway. No. God gave people, even those that rejected Him, opportunity to find Him. If they reject it, God lets them. Why are there such a wide chasm between these two characters in Jesus' parable? I think it's clear. Jesus developed these characters on purpose. Because He wanted us to stress that our salvation is not in possessions and it's not in our health. It's not in our physical things. That's not what life is really about. Life is about, as Solomon found out at the end of his life, you remember in Ecclesiastes, he said, listen, this is the whole matter of it summed up. Live life and fear God. And fearing God, that doesn't mean we're afraid of God, but that we have a reverential respect for God. We acknowledge Him as Lord of our life, and we recognize we need Him in our life. And friends, if 2020 has taught us anything, it is that we desperately need God working on our behalf and in our life. This has been a crazy year. When hurricanes were coming this past week, somebody said, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up having a snowstorm in the middle of September in Mississippi. Now, be a very odd thing, but this has been a very odd year. But through it all, and in it all, God extends the gospel to all. If anyone confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, they will be saved. Anyone. And guess what? That means you. And that means me. And praise God that God works in our life and calls out to us and never gives up on us. And so if you're here today, you know what? You would say, you know what? I'm like that rich man. Been pretty comfortable and thought I didn't need to have God in my life. And today God's saying to you, you know what, bucko? You better wake up. Maybe you're here today, you say, you know what, my life has fallen completely apart. There's no way that God exists and that God is real, because if He was, I wouldn't be having all the problems that I have. Well, maybe it's through those problems that you have that God is using those problems to help you to wake up and say, you know what? Running the life, running the show on my terms has got me this mess. Maybe I ought to find a new director. And that new director's name is Jesus Christ. And that He will receive you, He'll forgive you, He'll make you brand spanking new. And that is the wonder and the amazing thing of the gospel. But it's the truth. How do I know it's true? Because that's my life. And if you're a child of God, that's your testimony too. And if that's not your testimony, it can be today before you leave this place. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Lord, this parable reminds us of a couple important truths. First, that You know us and watch over us. That You call out to us to come to You. And Lord, secondly, we're reminded that no one is excluded from the gospel. That Your love and grace will save anyone and everyone who accepts that free atoning gift. If there's one here today in person or watching online that doesn't know You, that they've not received that free gift, help them today to call upon You. Lord, maybe there's one of Your children here today and you've just spoken to them today, they realize, Lord, there's no do-overs in life. But there are fresh starts, and there's forgiveness and grace in the saving work of Jesus Christ. That if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to be receptive and open to Your leading and how You're calling us to make a decision for You today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, stand together with me. We're going to sing this hymn of invitation. If God spoke into your heart, you do business with the Lord. You can be mindful and obey the Lord. Because there's no do-overs. After in eternity, you can't go back and redo it. It's based on what you've done with the opportunities that you've been given here on earth.
This is number 251. Jesus is calling.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther?
To get ready, we're also going to sing Redeemed, which is number 301, I believe. So if you'd like to turn in your hymn book to number 301, we'll sing the song Redeemed. We'll sing all four verses.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and for.